Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well there, can you hear me?
I good.
Welcome to the program, everybody. Can't hear myself on my ear. There we go. Turn my volume up. There are five people in this room. Somebody's leaking. We're going to find out who it is this morning.
Somebody's leaking.
I want everybody to look me in the eye.
It's like an NCIS movie.
All right, Tim Wildman here with the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. I am not leaking.
Okay. You're not the one.
I'm not,
you're
the
not
one.
The mole.
The first to deny is usually the one.
I'd look at the Canadian if I were you.
Fred Jackson, the import from Canada over here. Well, did they tax you? Did they have a tariff on you when you came in, Fred? Oh, me. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
And well, he married a Mississippi girl. So
like you
right.
did.
Yeah, like right. I did. That's right. right.
And Walker Wildman is here with us. Walker, good morning.
Good morning.
We are going to be using our Facebook today's Issues Facebook page to post all the articles we talk about today, right?
That's correct. And if our listeners would like to go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and if they would like to comment on the show, they can do that just below the video feed there.
Okay. We welcome your comments. And we'd love to have those thoughts on the issues we talk about on the program today. This is Today's Issues, so we try to talk about current events. And Brent Creeley's running. He doesn't have a – well, Brent, you want to
– He's got a mic.
Yeah, Brent runs our board every day, which means he's over here running the controls.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Brent. Brent doesn't speak a whole lot on this show, but I'm watching you. Brent.
Make sure he's not leaking.
Find out who's
so he has the most time, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah,
he does.
That's what I'm saying.
He does the hardest work and gets the least amount of credit.
Right. I'm going to find out who the leaker is.
But we're
is
not above giving him the blame if something goes wrong.
All right. Today's Issues, the program. Fred, good morning to you again. And what is leading the news today?
Holy smokes. Where do I begin?
I know.
It's one of those days. Well, speaking of
Do you
leaks,
speak Russian, Brent? I've heard you at the water cooler, you know, sort of hey, with a little accent. I'm sorry, Fred, I had to interrupt, but yeah. I've heard Brent speaking a little Russian accent.
One morning I was coming down the hallway, and he said, "Mud gorning." I'm pretty
you
sure.
You heard it?
I heard it.
Okay.
Mud gorning.
And right. You guys are piling on me this morning.
Okay, I'm sorry, Fred.
Enjoy your last day at the job there, Brent.
Go ahead, Fred. Good morning. Right. Go ahead, Fred, the comrade.
Yes. Speaking of leaks, President Trump took it to his Twitter earlier this morning.
No.
Here's the problem, folks. His beautiful wife, Melania, and their son, their 10-year-old right. son, they're up in New York. Donald Trump, President Trump, has the whole kind of wing where he lives all to himself. He's got a lot of spare time, so he takes to Twitter several times a day. This morning, he put out a warning to what he called, quote, low-life leakers. All right?
Pretty good.
That would be a great name for a band.
That's life. Some pretty good alliteration.
Ladies
right
and gentlemen,
there.
Yeah. Welcome to the stage.
Low-life leakers. In a pair of tweets this morning, he says, leaking and even illegal classified leaking has been a big problem in Washington for years. And Trump writes, the spotlight has finally been put on the low-life leakers. They will be caught. And he's addressing a serious item, you know, in all of this. There's obviously people inside departments, whether it's FBI or perhaps right inside the White House, who maybe have things out for Donald Trump. And they're leaking a lot of information. And he wants to get to the bottom of it. It's a crime. To be doing what they're doing. And, you know, some of the speculation is that there are Obama people still in the Justice Department, mm-hmm. in the Secretary of State's department, who would like to see Donald Trump
fail.
Fail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's a problem. Would it be up to the Federal Bureau of Investigation to find out who the leakers are? Can't they? Isn't that their job?
Well, the FBI, I would imagine, would. I mean, they're the investigative arm of the Justice Department. The problem is, we discussed it on the show yesterday. It depends on the nature of these leaks and how this is getting out. I mean, if someone's dumb enough to send an email with a transcript of a phone conversation, then that's easy to discover. Mm-hmm. But as we mentioned yesterday, if somebody inside the administration is meeting for coffee with a reporter and saying, hey, listen, I want to tell you what I've read or what I've heard, you ought to investigate this. Well, there's hardly any way to track that, so it'd be very difficult.
Representative Jason Chaffetz, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, he's the House Oversight Committee Chair. He has directed the Inspector General of the Central Intelligence Agency, I believe, to look into these leaks.
Okay. Okay, not to bore people here with this, but the leaks... And you're trying to understand how the leaks affected the story about General Flynn, mm-hmm. and his, which led to his resignation. What happened was he talked to this Russian official, mm-hmm. Before he was officially in his Office of National
Foreign Minister. Mm-hmm.
And what the phone conversation was recorded
as per normal.
All calls are.
So this wasn't something that General Flynn was doing in secret. You don't call and say, hey, I'm going to have this conversation. If you're going to try to do something in secret, you do something without it being recorded.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't. So somebody knew that he was doing this. So are you saying then, you Fred, but to explain this leak, mm-hmm. what we're talking about with leaks, somebody then reported, gave the contents of that phone conversation to the news media, unauthorized and illegally. That's what's at issue here, right?
That's what's at issue. And then on top of all of that, what happened with General Flynn is that he had a conversation with Vice President Pence.
Right.
Obviously we weren't in on that conversation, but General Flynn did not mention
that
in Flynn's conversation with this Russian foreign minister, the issue of sanctions mm-hmm. that had been imposed by Barack Obama, President Obama, before he left office, came up. He did not mention that. In a follow-up conversation with the vice president, after Vice President Pence had gone on the air and had been challenged about this, mm-hmm. said, no, I have been told sanctions didn't come up. After that interview with Vice President Pence, General Flynn apparently disclosed, yes, it did kind of, in a way, come up.
Mm-hmm. Kind of begs the question, why didn't General Flynn just tell Vice President Pence what he did?
Hmm. Well, we're all at a disadvantage because we don't know exactly how the conversation went.
Yeah.
And I'm not making excuses for General Flynn. He should have probably, if we're understanding the situation correctly, told Vice President Mike Pence, yes, we did discuss it. However, if the conversation went, the foreign minister of Russia says, hey, we want to talk about these sanctions. And General Flynn said, well, you're going to have to wait till we get into office. So nothing we can do now. We'll talk about it later. If he then told Pence, well, I did not advise him.
Yeah.
You're saying. If General Flynn was thinking, we didn't really discuss it. I told him, but he didn't tell that to Vice President Pence. Pence goes on the air and is embarrassed.
Yeah. And another thing to note to our listeners, this situation is very confusing. If you watch different media outlets, you get different perspectives. But the fact that General Flynn had a phone conversation with a Russian representative or Russian ambassador is not news. Everyone knew that they had a conversation.
And it was normal.
And it's normal. That's typical during a transition to talk to foreign leaders. What was news is that General Flynn failed to tell Vice President Pence the entire context and facts of the conversation. The conversation was legal and everyone knew it took place. There was just misinformation as to what they talked about, and that's why he was let go.
Yeah, President-elect Obama in 2008went on a tour of Europe,
yes.
and mm-hmm. talked to foreign leaders.
Yes.
So this is not unusual. I think we've talked about the law says unless you're, you know, in office, you can't conduct diplomacy. I'm not sure what that means, conducting diplomacy. If you're just discussing issues with foreign leaders, like anybody could over the water cooler, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's diplomacy. Yeah. But like Walker said, I think what caused the axe to fall on Flynn was that he failed to communicate mm-hmm. accurately to Vice President Pence. Pence went on the air, defended Flynn, and, you know, got an egg on his face.
Mm-hmm. There's, maybe I'm the only one, there seemed like there's a missing piece to this story that we don't know.
Well, others have mentioned that.
Well, I just think if this was happening to the Democrats, if the Democrats had control of the House and the Senate and the White House, and something similar happened. And by the way, this leads to the second story we want to deal with today.
Well, let me just jump in before you get to that second story. Now, Walker, you sent to me, I think it was you sent to me, the segment from O'Reilly last night,
right,
where he was talking to
Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah. And in that moment, I understood why the Democrats are harping on this so much, because Geraldo said, oh, Bill, you didn't have a problem with the Russians interfering when it led to Hillary Clinton's loss. Mm-hmm. Now you're squawking. And I think this is driving the rage on the part of Democrats. They are so angry that Hillary lost.
Of course.
They are blaming it on the Russians. They believe that Trump, then candidate Trump, conspired with the Russians to defeat Hillary. I think that is what is driving the anger. And that's why, I guess the fourth thing here, that's why they're trying to push to delegitimize Trump with his own Russian scandal. Mm-hmm. And it just seems clear that that's the tic-tac-toe here of what's going on.
And the left is unhinged about Trump's victory. They are. And when I say the left, let's include the media in this. Came into the office last night. This was the headline on the Associated Press lead story. A crush of crisis all but buries the young Trump White House. Now, what they're referring to is the Flynn resignation, mm-hmm. and they're referring to the story that broke yesterday afternoon. President Trump's nominee for Labor Secretary has stepped down, and he just decided he doesn't want the job. All right. Here's what happened in the early days of the Obama administration. But there seems to be no comparison of the media on this. In the early days of the Obama administration, not one of his cabinet nominees stepped away, but three of them got in trouble. But, you know, remembering back to that time, I can't remember any headlines saying the Obama the new Obama administration's in trouble, they're in crisis, et cetera, et cetera. But three of his nominees had to step away because of controversy.
And we talked about in our story meeting this morning, this is not unusual for any transition team, because mm-hmm. the amount of time you have between the day you finally figure out that you've won mm-hmm. and the day you're inaugurated is, you know, we're just talking a couple of months. So there is a lot of rushing around that goes on. I remember Bill Clinton, one of his early nominees, I'm trying to remember her name off the top of my head, but she was... Her name was withdrawn because she had a nanny that was an illegal.
That's right.
And I can't remember her name. But, I mean, so it's not uncommon mm-hmm. that this happens. But as you said, the media is unhinged and they want to see Trump go down in flames.
Yeah. Don't you remember, that, you know, this? Like, that's so over the top, Fred, what you just – what headline was that from?
Associated Press.
Associated Press. By the presidency's over now because we've had a couple of mishaps. I remember – y'all remember the rollout of Obamacare? They couldn't get the website to work for a year.
Yeah.
You remember that? The website, millions of people impacted, couldn't get it to work.
They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to build it.
And nobody would come out from nobody wanted to do the interviews from the Obama White House on why the website didn't work. This kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another, you know, the Andrew Puzder, who's President Trump's selection for labor secretary. He withdraws. There's a number of different things that the Democrats were attacking, but one of the things they were attacking was the fact that he employed an undocumented immigrant housekeeper. Now,
what do you got against that?
Well, Democrats have nothing against that. But when it comes to a Republican, they go, hiring an illegal immigrant. That's wrong. Their whole platform is in favor of that. But
Before we move on to the next story, by the way, you are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We thank you, as always, for listening and for tuning in throughout the day here to American Family Radio. The big picture here, if we get in the jet and we go 30,000 feet up and look down here, here's what the left, and by that the media, the Democrats, and the Hollywood, all these people, they want you, and they want the American people to believe that President Trump and Vladimir Putin are joined at the hip. They colluded. That would be hard to us. He's 5'6" and Trump's 6'2", so I don't know how you can join.
Well, they spend time in a hot tub together.
Okay, they're joined at the hip and the shoulder. Okay. Anyway, they colluded. This is some grand scheme. Maybe even this is the way the Russians are going to take over our country is to have a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
This is this kind of stuff. Now, if you want, it's just so. They're wanting people to believe a movie, basically.
Yeah.
What I think happened here, President Trump has denied all along that he didn't even know Mr. Putin. Hadn't met him yet. They talked on the phone once, but and even some Republicans were trying to say to him, that is the Trump administration, you're too tight with Vladimir Putin. He said, I never met the guy. What they're trying to want us to believe is there's this big conspiracy going on here. And, I'm just not buying. Now, they would say, well, if President Obama does something with the Russians, you know, like when he told the Russian number two man that when I get elected, remember this?
Medvedev.
When I get elected, you tell Vladimir that when I get elected, that this is President Obama talking, that I will get busy on doing things that I can't do right now because I'm running for office. So that was caught off mic.
Here's also an important note. Yeah. The difference between the Hillary Clinton leaked emails is those emails were leaked and the sender was HillaryClinton@somethingsomething.com. It was her email address to so and such at CNN.com. And there was these, they you didn't have to say, well, an unnamed source within the department of something, something said that so-and-so said this.
Right.
So you have no names, no transcripts, no facts. And then you run a story off of it. With the Clinton emails, they were released. Her own emails were released where foreign governments were writing her husband $1 million check.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, and no one ever denied it.
Yeah.
So that's a difference here.
And they also want to say that basically the Russians hacked into the Democrat National Committee because they wanted to the Democrats to lose because they wanted their comrade, Donald Trump, to win the presidency. So now he could further advance the cause of the Russian world mission.
All according to an unnamed source within the Department of
This is Tom Clancy on steroids, basically. I agree that some of this looks bad. You know, some of it looks bad.
Oh, it would be if anyone could prove that the Russians had a hand in determining the outcome of our election and had been scheming behind the scenes with the president-elect and his transition team to somehow undermine American foreign policy and American interests, that'd be disturbing.
Yeah.
But I got to see facts before I jump on that boat.
All right. I know we have a break here in a minute, but we want to get to another member of the Unhinged team, and that's academia. We want to take you now to a classroom at Orange County College, that's in Southern California, We have Professor Cox at the front of the class trying to comfort those who are upset by Trump's election. And this is what she had to say about the Trump election.
White supremacist and a vice president that is one of the most anti-gay humans in this country. And so we are in for a difficult time. But again, I do believe that we can get past that. Our nation is divided. We have been assaulted. It's an act of terrorism. One of the most frightening things for me and most people in my life is that the people committing the assault are among us. It is not some stranger from some other country coming in and attacking our sense of what it means to be an American and the things that we stand for. And that makes it more painful because I'm sure that all of us have people in our families and our circle of friends that are a part of that movement, and it is very difficult. We are way beyond Republicans and Democrats, and we're really back to being a civil war. And I don't mean it in a fighting way, but our nation is divided as clearly as it was in Civil War times. And my hope is that we will get some good leadership to help us to overcome that. I will go over some coping skills, but before I do that, I do want you to know that the optimist in me, first of all, we are the majority. More of us voted.
There you have it. This professor is saying the election of Donald Trump was an act of terrorism. Now, we're able to listen to the professor because a young man who happens to be a student in the class and a member of the Republican Club on campus there videotaped this. He has been suspended for the rest of the term for videotaping. As far as we know right now, there is no problem the college has with this professor going on and on, calling the election of Donald Trump an act of terrorism. But the kid who recorded this has been suspended for the rest of the term. And now he's hired a lawyer. He believes he does have. They have a rule about recording in class, and he may have violated that, but he's being punished by being thrown out for the rest of the term. But there was an example of what kids are hearing from the front of the class at this college.
Well, and I have an insight here because the professor you mentioned, Fred, you said Professor Cox. What you didn't mention is her full name. Olga Perez Stable Cox. Now, the name Olga sounds Russian to me. So I'm wondering. Wondering if this professor is not a plant from the Russians.
Going to something right there.
To undermine President Trump after they got him in office.
From an unnamed source within the university.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And was she in the Olympics and won a gold medal for the Russians back in the day? Or the Soviet Union?
Weightlifting.
Formerly.
Olga. Well, listen,
she could have been on the balance beam. You don't know that she was a weightlifter.
Olga Korbut. She was a famous gymnast.
Right, Soviet. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, yesterday the president met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel. And when we get back from our break in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Jan Markell, founder of Olive Tree Ministries. Her ministry, one of their main interests is Israel, and certainly the relationship between the United States and Israel. So we'll get Jan to comment on that. Fred, onenewsnow.com. Can people get a daily news brief from you guys?
Oh, absolutely. All of these stories, and I know that Walker is busy posting these stories. It's just amazing. Both the stories we've been dealing with you can find on One News Now. And yes, there's a daily email. You can sign up, and we will send you a terrific summary of the day's news from a Christian perspective. You'll enjoy it.
Just one. You'll send one email
one
a day.
One email a day. That's all you'll get.
And that has all a synopsis of the news for the day.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What do they need to do to sign up for that?
Just go to the site. There's a spot there. Just click on it. Put your email in there, and away you go.
Is it in English or Russian?
It's in English. But we're in negotiations.
Okay. Well, I'm looking around the room. I'm going to find the leaker, people. Don't worry about that. Or could it be me?
And you just don't even know. Talking about Manchurian candidate. Yeah.
We will be back after this short break. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page if you'd like. We'll be back in a minute.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct.
Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these Spiritual Heritage Tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University. Committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview.
From Farmers Branch, Texas, comes the story of a Good Samaritan. An 81-year-old lady was loading groceries into her car when she fell victim to a purse snatcher. A young man saw what happened, took off in pursuit, managed to snatch back the purse, but the bad guy got away. Still, nice to know there's some chivalry left in America. Maury and Betty Markoff of Los Angeles know a thing or two about longevity. Maury's 103, Betty 100. They've been married for almost 80 years. They chalk up their longtime love affair to tolerance and respect. Zoo Atlanta made good on a Super Bowl wager they made with the Providence Zoo in Boston. The losing side had to name one of their baby animals after the winning team's star quarterback. Instead of naming an adorable bear cub after Tom Brady, they decided to name a newborn insect in his honor, a Madagascar hissing cockroach who now goes by the name Tom Brady. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. Fred heads up our news team at onenewsnow.com. and American Family Radio News, and Walker's getting Jan Markell on. I tell you, while we're waiting on Jan, you want to get into this story you had here, Fred?
Well, listeners to American Family Radio know that AFA has started a petition to have President Trump sign an executive order to return religious freedom to our country. And we have another example from courtesy of the Alliance Defending Freedom today. They are writing a letter to the president asking for this executive order on religious freedom, and they give the example of a beef company, a meatpacking company, West Michigan Beef Company. Under the Obama administration, they are Christians who own this. It's a mom-and-pop beef company,
right.
Okay? They are Christians. They, under the Obama administration, they were told they were no longer to put in the company's break room some literature that supports marriage between a man and a woman. They were threatened by the Obama administration that unless you cease putting this literature out in your break room, we're going to stop sending inspectors into your meatpacking. And
this is the USDA, right?
This
that comes
US,
in and inspects.
Yeah.
This is a private company.
Private company. We're going to stop sending inspectors, which basically would put that company out of business because
yeah.
You have to have that sticker. You have to have that approval in order to sell your meat. So there you have it. Here's another example, much like the Kleins in Oregon and others, you know, florist operators, etc., who were basically strong-armed by the Obama administration, saying you cannot apply Christians, you own the business, but you cannot apply Christian principles to your business, how you run your business. In this case, simply putting out literature that supports marriage only between a man and a woman, the Obama administration said, that's offensive to us. We're not going to allow you to do that. And if you don't stop, we're going to put you out of business.
And this highlights the distinction between today's Democrat and the Democrat when I was, say, in high school. The old-time liberals, in terms of my age, would have been outraged by this infringement on free speech.
Yes.
Even if they disagreed with it, they would always say things like, I may disagree with you, but I'll fight to the death to protect your right to say it. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, today's Democrat, they have no problem with squelching free speech as long as it's the speech they disagree with.
Exactly.
And this is a perfect example of how the Democratic Party has changed.
Yeah.
You talk about overreaching. You talk about draconian. You talk about the discrimination against Christians. Again, we're talking about a situation in Michigan. This press release by ADF, you going to put that up there, Walker? Can you find that?
Yes, I can.
The Alliance Defending Freedom press release. It says, under a policy issued by the Obama administration's agriculture secretary, having nothing to do with, this is food and you know.
He's making sure meat is edible.
Safe.
And safe.
Yeah.
And that's their job.
The facility's clean. Things like that. Under a policy issued by the Obama administration's agriculture secretary, a USDA official threatened to remove all USDA inspectors if West Michigan's beef company basically put them out of business.
Yep.
Owner Dan Donald Vander Boone, that's his name, V-A-N-D-E-R, second word, Boone, B-O-O-N, didn't permanently refrain from placing in the company's break room religious literature supporting marriage between a man and a woman. So guy puts, you know, well, this is a private company.
Right.
Private company, he should be able to put anything he wants to. If they can control this, anybody, the federal government can control any speech anywhere. This is ridiculous and unconstitutional. So what the ADF is representing, I guess, Mr. Vander Boone, and they've sent a letter to the president saying this is why we need your executive order to stop this kind of stuff from the federal government. Hopefully, let me just say this about the President Trump and religious freedom. He is very good. He understands what's going on in many ways with religious freedom. But inside the White House, there is a war between two ideologies on this. And this has been no secret, really. On the one hand, I don't think President Trump, I think he is indifferent on the LGBT activism front. I don't think he understands it. That's not his world. And so it's not ever affected him. I'm talking about things like what you just described, Fred. So he has to be taught, you see what I'm saying? And educated on this. Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, he's had experience with this in Indiana,
you know, right,
with the religious freedom law that, that Indiana passed. And then Vice President Pence, you know, he got wobbly-kneed on there. You know what I'm saying?
The whole world pounced on Indiana.
Yeah, and he did. God bless him, but he did. So I'm just saying, and you have Ivanka Trump and her husband,
Kushner. Yeah,
they are New Yorkers with libertarian views on this, I would say, and they would advise the president to not do anything that would be perceived as anti-LGBT.
Right.
Okay. So you have that side. Then you have our side, with many millions of people having voted for President Trump, and they, you know, trying, we're our side, I don't know who all is on that team inside the White House, trying to say, look, Mr. President, we need you to defend religious freedom or Christians who are being attacked in the way that Mr. Vanderboon is. So you need to understand this issue. You need to sign a religious freedom executive order so that we can do something to stop this. So that's the clash going on inside the White House. Who wins? It remains to be seen.
Yeah.
And we will but continue to pray for that and take a stand. And hopefully and prayerfully, the president will do the right thing on these issues. But a lot of that still remains to be seen. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, AFA has a petition.
Yeah, we have a petition asking the president to sign an executive order about religious freedom that would address these issues we've just mentioned. So go to our website, afa.net, and sign it, afa.net. We've had 100,000. How many people signed it, Walker?
110,000 people thus far.
Have signed it so far. So that's a lot. We'd like to get a lot more because this is very important to the future of our country. And to the religious freedoms of Christians in particular. Yeah. All right. We want to welcome to our program Jan Markell. Jan is founder of Olive Tree Ministries out of the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and she joins us now. She has a weekend program here on American Family Radio. Jan, how are you?
Well, thank you for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Hey, Jan, tell our listeners about your show on the weekends here on American Family Radio.
We try to help folks understand the times from a biblical perspective. It's a Saturday, 1 Central, and Sunday, 12 noon Central. We really love our AFR family.
All right, and we appreciate your program. Very interesting. We get a lot of nice comments. I'm sure you do, too, from our listeners to your program on the weekend.
Yeah, we do.
Jan, talk about yesterday's meeting between the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu.
You know, I think it's all summed up, if anybody saw it live or else pictures are delayed today, in the smile on Benjamin Netanyahu's face, beaming ear to ear. The long 8-year nightmare for him is over, and it's over for the whole nation of Israel. But Netanyahu got it personally from Barack Obama for 8 years, even trying to undermine the election a couple of years ago. He feels like he's a liberated man right now, and I was just so tickled to see it all happening. I think I was on with Janet Mefford as it was actually playing out, but I saw it later in the day. It was so heartwarming. I mean, the new administration is not perfect, but when you look at the contrast between a few years ago and today, it is truly stunning.
No, absolutely. You know, We've known all along, you know, with any president, you're going to get, even if your guy gets in, you're going to have, good and bad. And hopefully you have a lot more good than you have bad in terms of their policies and the things that they stand for. Some things they're going to do by nature good, and others they're going to have to be, you know, pushed. You're going to have to use good old-fashioned persuasion. But with President, do you think President Trump understands? He and the Prime Minister, I guess they've had a long personal friendship, haven't they?
They have. So it's just kind of being renewed now. I was intrigued to hear, it sounded like a diminishing of the topic on two-state solution that could even be perhaps an ancient issue. I'm not sure, but I know he's not going to pressure Netanyahu on two-state solution. Of course, two-state solution is just a continuation of Adolf Hitler's final solution because it's just nothing but an attempt to kind of annihilate Israel with a so-called Palestinian state. I do think that the embassy moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is going to be put on hold. And the reason I say that is because there was talk yesterday, and I think it's going to happen, of other Arab countries coming into the discussion about Middle East peace. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, some of the other Sunni countries over there who are not quite so terror-focused, even though I think Saudi Arabia can't be trusted at all. But because these other nations would come into the discussion, there's probably going to have to be a sacrificial lamb offered, and that's going to be that the embassy will not move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's what insiders are saying, and I would agree with that. But I don't think that's a major issue. The major issue is a two-state solution, I think, is put on the back burner. And Netanyahu just doesn't have he's just not under the gun like he was with his Democrat administration, which is now history.
Jan, it's Fred Jackson here. I saw a couple of extreme differences yesterday in that joint news conference with President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Number one, they're on the same page when it comes to Iran. Contrast that with Obama, President Trump yesterday saying, terrible deal, terrible deal. The second part, Prime Minister Netanyahu said two conditions for two-state solution. One, Palestinians have to recognize Israel and the Jewish people as a nation. And number two, they have to allow the fact that Israel would have to control the military and national security anywhere west of the Jordan.
Yes.
And then President Trump said something that I don't believe I've ever heard any Republican or Democrat president say. Agreeing with Netanyahu, he said, this is Trump speaking, Palestinians have to stop hating the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. He came right out and said that. They have to stop hating the Jewish people. And then on top of that, you had this conversation between the two men and President Trump referring to Netanyahu as has a name that a lot of us know, Bibi, going back and forth. They have been good friends for many years. And I agree with you, Jan. The smile, Netanyahu did not stop smiling yesterday.
That's right.
The whole time. The difference was absolutely incredible in the relationship between Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Obama and Netanyahu. It was an incredible difference.
Well, I had said before the election that perhaps the entire election will come down to Israel. And what I meant by that is I wonder if in God's mind and God's heart it's all about Israel, because I know he had to have been grieved to see the last 8 years and the terrible pressure put on the Israelis. And in his mind, and in his heart, and in his all-knowing, he knew that a Trump administration was going to turn that around. And if, in fact, that whole election in the heavenlies could have come down to all about Israel, I kind of think so. I don't know the mind of God, but he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he wants us, all he asks is that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's ultimately praying that the Prince of Peace would come back. But it's also praying for a literal physical peace over there.
Hey, Jan, what's your website? And again, when does your program, I assume you're going to be talking about this at more length on the weekend.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it here in the coming weeks for sure. It's olivetreeviews.org. We're airing Saturday at 1 p.m., Sunday at 12 noon. Yes, excuse my voice, gentlemen. I got laryngitis. Thank you for putting up with it.
Well, you sound fine, better than we do here, and we have our normal voices. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, goodbye now.
Bye-bye. Jan Markell joining us. She has a really interesting program on the weekend here on American Family Radio called
Understanding the Times.
I went blank there for just a minute. Understanding the Times, and we encourage you to check that out. Understanding the Times on American Family Radio. Her ministry is called Olive Tree Ministries. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, and Fred Jackson. Walker, who do we have now?
Well, our listeners have been hearing us talk about our partnership with India Partners. And how we're providing nights of safety to women and children in the red light districts of Mumbai, India. Right now, we're going to have on the man who handles it all and knows more about it than we do, David Harms of India Partners. David, thank you for coming on.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and what a great partnership has developed as we just work to rescue kids from the trafficking in Mumbai, India.
Tell us a little bit, kind of brief our supporters and our listeners on what's going on, what AFR is partnering with India Partners over, and the aspects of it.
Well, it really comes down to one of the a scourge on the earth in many ways, in the fact that humans are selling humans, and they're selling them for the pleasure of men, if I can just be that honest. And they can be as young as 8 when they're trafficked and sold, and they go into the red light districts of Mumbai, India. And then they're forced against their will, and as they get older, they have babies, and the children are there, and the moms are there, and it's a terrible, awful type of slavery, really. And so for the last several years with India Partners and AFR, we've partnered together for lots of reasons, but the one that we're focusing on now is this escape, really, the rescuing of these children that are born there and the moms as well. And we can rescue them and put them in the safe houses. Now, this is where it gets really good. So we've been partnering about this for the last few years. And now, thanks to the support of AFR and the families that have given in the past, we have a brand new, bigger safe house because of the financial support that's come in, with more girls now able to come in and even more room for expansion of that. And we're thrilled with that. And so we continue to ask you to give so that these safe houses operate and that we can rescue them, and not just rescue them, but put them into the safe houses. So that's kind of the summary of what we've been doing. And it's $7.08 to provide a day of everything that they need in the safe house. That's the full room and board, the private Christian school, the tutoring to get them caught up academically, the medical attention, the trauma counseling, all of that. And of course, it's all done in the name of Jesus. So we're pretty thrilled with that. And we're asking people to call and give to support the ministry and the escaping of, or the rescuing of girls and women from the red light districts.
All right, David, I'm going to give out the phone number, and then I'm going to have Brent play a short audio clip of a testimony. But here's the phone number if you want to give. As David mentioned, it's about $7. We'll provide one night or one day of safety for women and children in India escaping the red light districts. The phone number to call in and give a generous donation of any amount is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396.
Every day, my mom would shower, get dressed, fix me breakfast, and then go to the room next door. That's where she would work. There was this man always with her when she worked. She called him my father. There were lots of visitors to my mom's business, but my father would yell at my mom and me a lot. I think he wanted her to do more business. I'm not sure what business my mom does, but I know she loves me. She wanted me to come here and learn English and be safe. Here I learn about Jesus and I feel protected. I thank God for all He has done for me. I also pray every day for my mom, so I pray that she is safe and no harm will come to her.
Yeah. David Harms is our guest of India Partners. American Family Radio is partnering with India Partners. You know, David, I think it's hard for us in America to comprehend little girls as young as 8 being trafficked and sold into the sex trade. But it's also important for Christians not to simply curse the darkness, as the old saying goes, but to light a candle. And a day in a safe house includes full room and board, full-time school for children, private tutoring, medical attention, counseling, and most importantly, opportunities to hear about the love of Jesus. But there is an attempt to get these girls completely away from the sex trade, right? I mean, this is really a rescue operation.
Yeah, I mean, and the safe houses are way out of the downtown area or where the red light districts are, because there are owners who are known to then pursue the women or the children because they consider them property. And we want to be able to keep them safe. And so that's why they're out, and we do it. And literally, when they get to the safe house, it is a pretty secure system with the chains that, the big grate that you have to do over the elevator. There's a thumbprint scan for the girls themselves when they leave to come back, so we can make sure that, they have entrance to the safe house. I mean, this is serious stuff. But what's happening is the healing is happening. And this is why the gifts are so important. So, that $7.08 plays out with, if you give $212, for instance, that's about a month in the safe house. And so you could underwrite that. Now, one thing that we get a lot of questions on is, well, what happens if I do $212 for a month? What happens after that month? Do they get put back out? And the answer is no, not at all. This is part of a program. And culturally speaking, once those girls enter into our program, we're like their dad and their mom. We have house parents there, and now they are with us. If they come in at 8 years old, they're with us for at least 10 years. And that's just because culturally, we're now their parents, basically. And that's where this ongoing support is so important. So we thank you for being so generous, and we ask you to keep it up, and do know that it's making a difference. We can now, just since January, there have been 9 women taken out of the red light district, plus we've opened the doors in our safe house to 5 new girls, all since January. So
wow,
this is happening because we have the room and the space and the funding that comes from you. It's working, and that's the beauty of this. We can finally stop it, stop the trafficking, and put the girls in a safe place.
Amen. Well, thank you, David, for what your ministry does for India Partners and working with AFR on this. We appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for coming on.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We just hope people keep calling 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, and there's a lot of information on the website, afr.net. Had to get that number in there. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was good.
Appreciate everything.
We were going to do it.
Appreciate you. Yeah.
Thank you, David.
So, Walker, if you make a donation of $7, $14, or $21 or more, mm-hmm. for every $7, that's one that we figured out that's one night.
Yes, correct. So roughly $7 is one night of safety.
Can they get these girls out permanently?
Well, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was saying.
Yeah, the program is to get them out permanently. Yeah, but what you're doing is you're pitching in.
Paying for the temporary get them out of there.
Right.
They have to have somewhere for them to go.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's the breakdown on your donation. As Dad mentioned, as Tim mentioned, if you give $7, that provides one night of safety. If you provide $50, that's 1 week of safety for these children. And as David mentioned, for roughly $200, that's a month of safety in this safe house in India.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And by the way, we've got about two minutes left here. It is good to see a new start to an old relationship, back to our conversation about Israel and mm-hmm. the United States. I'm going to be going in a couple of weeks to Israel, and it's a wonderful place to visit, not just, you know, and people over there, both the Arabs and the Jews, that they love Americans coming. They love tourists from all over the world coming because it helps their economy. Mm-hmm. But it's just good to see we've had such a tense relationship between President Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu, the two administrations. President Obama just for some reason just seemed to hate Israel. I don't know. He wouldn't say that, but that's the way he was treating them.
In the closing days of his administration, he allowed to happen something that no American president has ever done, and that is let a resolution condemning Israel go before the Security Council, and not have the American delegate there, the American ambassador, veto that, let that stand. And that's the first time that has ever happened. And it was outrageous for the Obama administration to do that. And it was, I never thought I would live to see that, but he waited until his closing days to do it.
Yeah.
And it was an outrage to treat Israel, our ally, in that way when they need all the protection they can get. They're surrounded by at least many nations. Not all the nations seem to hate them. Jordan and Saudi Arabia don't seem to. But boy, they got a lot of enemies over there.
Yeah. I wanted to mention one thing before we go to our break. A new Rasmussen Report poll out, daily tracking poll, shows that President Trump is at a 55% approval rating amongst likely voters.
That's extraordinary.
What poll?
A Rasmussen poll just came out today that says President
With
Trump.
With all the media hype.
They're very reputable. So yes, I would believe that. 55% of the American public have a...
Voters.
Say he's doing a, voters. Voters say he's doing a good job.
Voters.
Yes.
Job approval is good?
Yes, sir.
All right. We will. We will be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay right there.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.